So as I was saying on last week, we were talking about, unity, and I was explaining some things to you on unity. And as I looked at it last week, I realized that it was some things that I was trying to share that may have gotten kind of convoluted, and I wanted to just go back and just, kind of refresh, recap, and then move forward as we're talking about the power of unity. And we're in Psalm 133, so we're not going to read it again because read it until you're hearing on last week. But what I want to do today is I want to just kind of recap a little bit and make sure that we're moving forward, on the same page as we was talking about unity, because one of the things Psalm 133 has come to be one. I always talk about how my favorite scriptures and the other, but Psalm 133 has a place in my heart because of what it says in the psalm when it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And I, as I began to think about this and rethink this thing over again, I wanted to make sure that we understood, when we're talking about the power of unity and what that really looks like and what it acts like. And so I share with you that we're going to be talking about, in different phases, about what unity is. And we talk about the ingredients of unity. We're going to eventually, talk about just the impact of unity. We're going to talk about the unity incarnated. We're going to talk about the implementation of unity. We're going to take different looks at the same passage because remember, the Word of God is always living and it's always breathing. And there's literally five looks at this passage that as it comes to unity that I really want to make sure that we walk away with as we discuss this over the next few remaining weeks. And so last week, I was talking to you about the whole, why we even think the psalm came into being with David and this and the other. We talked about, even the definition of unity, and the different words, the Hebrew word for it, the Greek word for it, and all of that is good. And I'm sure you remember all of that, and then I talked about, and I gave the definition even from the Oxford Dictionary that simply says the quality or connection, the quality or condition of agreeing or being one in feeling, one in opinion, one in purpose, and one in action. That's unity of that. In other words, that oneness, you're going to hear, we talk about the oneness. I even gave you the what we call our theology of unity when it comes to the church, the doctrine of unity when it comes to the church, based on what we have as a body, because it is so important to God that we walk in oneness, that we walk in unity, that we walk together, but not just that we walk together, but that we walk together with Him. Amen. And and so the unity, the oneness is all about not just, you being on one accord with each other, but then also about you and I being on one accord, of course, with God Himself. And so and I was trying to share with you, just that whole concept. We talked about even, I gave some of the examples of unity, in Genesis, Genesis 11:1, where it says, "Let us, build a tower on up, to go on up, to the heavens, let us, thank you, let us do these things." But then there's one that I realized that I did not really, focus your attention on, and that was the greatest example of unity, and that's in Genesis 1:26, when he says, "Let us make man in our image."
Yeah.
Let us make man in our image. That's God, Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit talking together. Because you have to remember something, the greatest example of unity that we can have really is the Holy Trinity, is God, Elohim, working within themselves, in concert with themselves. As a matter of fact, their term Elohim simply means God in concert with Himself, God in harmony with Himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all working together as one. Because the reason why that is the greatest example of unity is because not only did, listen to this, watch this, not only did Elohim say, "Let us make man in our image," but then Elohim said, "Okay, man had messed up, so now let us remake man in our image." In 1 Peter, the first chapter, the second verse, where it says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God." You know, also unto the obedience of Jesus Christ, upon the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, upon the sanctifying presence of the Holy Spirit. So in 1 Peter, the first chapter, the second verse, it shows you also how God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son came back together again to be able to, remake us, to be able to call us to walk in his presence. Now, that didn't excite nobody, but I need you to understand something, that in Genesis, he made us in his image and in his likeness, but then and when salvation had to reoccur again so that we could walk in the presence of God, he came back alongside the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, and they also then made us, they remade us now spiritually so that we could walk in the presence of God. Are you still not excited about that? Yeah. So in other words, the greatest example of unity has been given to us from God the Father. And so, and I thought about this, and I realized, y'all know how important unity is to God. You know how important it is to God. I'm glad you asked that question, because remember, we were talking about the importance of unity, right? The importance of unity, and it's so important to us, to God, that Jesus literally prays for us. That still don't excite y'all? Okay. All right, so in John 17, listen to this. He says, in verse 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Unity is so important that he gonna pray that we become one in him, and then also one in him and the Father, so that the world can know that Jesus lives. Oh, you missed this right here. He says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Do you understand the importance? So it's so important that Jesus prays that we walk in unity, that we walk in oneness. Y'all still not getting this thing. He says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So no wonder why the enemy's job is to try to cause division, not only in the church, in the family, not only in the family, but in you, the individual. Okay. Let me see if I can make this plain. Because he said, when you got saved, remember, Zoe, for those of you who've been there for a while, you know, when you got saved, you know, that was you got saved. And so you were a changed person. The old passed away, and then the old passed away, and all things were made new. And so you still believe the old, even though you're walking in the new. And because you believe the old while you're walking in the new, you are not one in your own self. Because you don't believe what God has said about you. You believe what everybody else has said about you. You don't believe what God has said about you. He says you are a new creature. You are sitting in the heavenlies in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, in the heavenly realms at the right hand of God. You are walking, you are literally walking in victory, although you're living in defeat. See, if you're not unified in your own self, you can't be united with nothing else. So if you don't believe what God has said about you, that means that you are actually at war within yourself, and you're at war with God. You are at war with what God has said about you. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna use this strong language. As a matter of fact, you're probably telling God, you might be lying. No, I ain't gonna say that. God, you might be mistaken. Because I believe this, even though you've told me this. So he's not only just talking about unity, you know, in the church, unity in the family. The question is, are you walking in unity as one? I got to slow this thing down, y'all, because I need you to understand that if you cannot walk with God in one accord with God, you and Him, how can you walk in unity with anybody else? Amen. If you don't believe what God has said about you, how can you then walk in unity with others? You can't. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. And I wanted to share that with you because to me it's so important. We understand that's why unity is so important to you and I. Jesus prays for us to walk as one. But he prays for us to walk as one because when we walk as one, church, family, individually, when we walk as one, spirit, soul, and body, when we walk as one, we literally put the power of God on display. When I begin to believe, Brother Greg, what God has said about me, when I begin to believe what God has told me, when I begin to believe what the word of God has spoken to me, and I walk in that, I am inevitable. Yeah, I missed that right there. See, as long as I walk in obedience to Kim of what God has told me, I am inevitable. In other words, you can't beat me. And the reason why you can't beat me, not because of me, but because of who I'm walking with and walking in and who I am obeying. And as long as I'm on the pathway he has me on and is his pathway and he is walking with me in that pathway, you can't beat me. As long as I'm walking with my Jesus and I'm walking in obedience, you can't beat me. As a matter of fact, Sister Karen, I can't die until I've completed all that God has told me to complete. As long as I'm walking in obedience and walking in unity, I can't die until I'm done doing what he told me to do. He says, my word will go out, and it goes out. It will accomplish everything I told you to accomplish. It will not return to me void. See, Sister Nate, we're trying to talk about unity in the church or unity in the family. We don't even have unity in our own self. Jesus says, I pray that they be one because it's important. So I was trying to deal with that importance on last week because see that importance, you know, of unity, you know, the reason why it's so important, and I want to leave, and I didn't leave you with these three things, but I'm leaving you with these three things today. The reason why it's so important is because when you look at this passage, right away it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to walk together. In other words, one of the reasons why it's so important for you and I to be able to walk in unity is because it seeks to please God. Y'all, our walking in unity, he says, it is pleasant, it is good, and it is pleasant. It's good and it is pleasant, not in your eyes first, not in people's eyes first. It is good and it is pleasant in the eyes of God. Unity is important because it is to seek to please God in all that we do. That's why Jesus prays for us in John 17. For brethren to dwell together in unity, to dwell together, to dwell, to live, to abide, to hang out, to commune. Didn't get that, Brother Greg. I'm going to say it again. For brethren and sistren to dwell, to abide, to hang out, to commune in unity. So that means that it's not good for me to just hang out in my house by myself. Amen. When it comes to worship. Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't get no amens on that, Brother Brian. So that means that it's not good for me to just to say, well, I got mine and I ain't got to worry. I don't have to go. I ain't got to go. I don't need to go. I don't want to go. to the church house. Because at the church house, brethren and sisters, they dwell together in unity. Okay. That would, y'all don't like that one too much, because it means, you know, that means that, you mean to tell me I need to get out of the house sometime? You mean to tell me I need to hang out with folks who say that they are believers like I am? You mean to tell me that I've got to be able to, you know, hang with my brothers and sisters? You mean to tell me that I don't need to be trying to isolate myself from everybody else? You mean to tell, I'm just saying what I'm saying. But look what it says, for brethren to dwell together. And for, I know this is a made up word, but for brethren and sisters to dwell together. He didn't say for you to dwell with unbelievers. I had to look with my glasses on that one, because I'm going to make sure I need to die. I don't want to dodge no tomatoes coming up at me. Because, you know, some of us, we dwell better with unbelievers than we do with our brothers and sisters. Remember, I told you, a lot of times what happened is there's a war going on inside of us, and so we hang out, Sister Hattie, better with unbelievers. But look what the word says. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, that he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He says, you can't walk with the sinners. You can't walk with the unbelievers. You can't walk with those who are scornful. You can't walk with them and please God. Now, I'm not saying you can't hang. I'm not saying that you can't be with them, because hopefully your light will bring light to them. But what I'm saying is this, that if you can't hang out with your brothers and sisters, but you can hang out with unbelievers, something is wrong, because the Bible says it is good for brethren and sistren to dwell together, because it pleases God. It pleases God. But you know, the other thing that it does is it supplies the peace of God. Now, y'all, this is where I had to come back to. I know I talked about this last week, but I got to come back to. I want to make some things very plain and very clear to you and I. Y'all, you know that this world is chaotic right now. And the external is not going to bring you peace. The world can't give you peace. The White House cannot, will not give you peace. The State House can't give you peace. City Hall can't give you peace. Your mama and your daddy can't give you peace. Your sisters and brothers can't give you peace. When he says here, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to work together in unity. You know, that unity is also a presumption also of peace. And so the importance of that is that you need to understand that what unity does, it literally supplies the peace of God. Now, I brought some scriptures to you on the day because I really want to walk down this a little bit better than I did last week. So hopefully you walk away a little bit more understanding of where I was going with that, because you have peace from God. You have peace with God. You have peace of God. Then you have peace in God. Okay. Because see, peace from God, Numbers 6 says this, says that, may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. John 8 says this, Jesus said to them, listen to this, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. And he said, but he sent me. In other words, he is the peace that came from God, because then Paul tells us in Ephesians, he himself, God, he himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace. Galatians 5:20 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, of God is peace. You can't produce peace without having the Spirit of God, because peace comes from God. Peace don't come from your stuff. Peace don't come from your standing. Peace don't come from your situations. Peace comes from God. And if you have not God, you have not peace. As a matter of fact, peace is only a gift given to you in the presence of God. Because if you're not in the presence of God, you can't walk in peace. That's what Numbers is all about. I call it the double blessings of God, where he says, you know, where he not only says that lift up his countenance, you know, upon you and give you peace, but he goes and he says you're blessed, you know, of God. He says, but then he also guarded by God. He then he says, I will treat you graciously. Numbers, the sixth chapter, go and read it sometime for yourself, 24 through 26. He says, understand that I'm going to bless you. I'm going to guard you. I am going to walk with you. I'm going to graciously hold you. That's peace. That's peace. But it comes from God. So Christ was our peace, because without Christ, we would not be able to take advantage of anything else. So he is, according to Paul, he is our peace. So peace from God. Y'all got that right? So we know peace comes from God. But then once you get peace from God, then you have peace with God. Because the peace from God, Jesus Christ, came, bled, died, rose again. So that we can then go, so we have peace with God. Romans 5, 1 and 2 will tell you, he became our peace. As a matter of fact, let me share that with you real quick. Romans 5 says that he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in 2 Corinthians, he says, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Okay, so you didn't get that. So we have peace from God that gives us peace with God. And once we got peace with God, that then activates what we call the peace of God. See, John 14 says, you know, I had to bring my scripture with me today, y'all. John 14 says, but the helper of the Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Understand, he says, he will teach you all things. But then he goes forward and he says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. In other words, he says, my peace. Jesus says, my peace. I'm going to give you my peace. In other words, I'm not going to give you the peace what the world gives you, because the world don't know what peace is, but I'm going to give you my peace. In other words, my peace is my ability to walk with my Father one-on-one, mano y mano, heart to heart. That's my peace. Yeah. Listen to Philippians 4. He says this. He says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Now, I was listening to Dr. Crawford LaRitz a couple of days ago, and he made an interesting point with this passage right here. Because he says, be anxious for nothing. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Right? But then it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So he says, one, be anxious for nothing. In other words, understand that you don't have to be anxious, but the only reason you don't have to be anxious is because on the other side of the but, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request. In other words, if you're praying, if you're giving thanks, if you're supplicating, supplicating means a passionate prayer to him. If you're supplicating, if you're giving thanks, if you're letting your request be made known to God, he says, then the peace of God, which will pass everything you can even think in your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. That's the peace of God. But you can't have the peace of God if you don't have peace with God. You can't have peace with God if you not had peace from God. But see, it doesn't stop there, because you also have peace in God. See, what happens is, when you get the peace from God, and then you get the peace with God, and then you get the peace of God, what happens is, because you got the peace of God, you want more of the peace of God. So then you got peace in God. In other words, you want to hang with him. Look at John 16, 33 says this. He says, these things I've spoken to you that in me you have peace. In me. In other words, you got to go in him. Don't miss that right there. See, there's peace in God. So my question to you is, you know, are you walking in peace? You know, do you, first of all, are you saved? Do you have peace from God? Do you have peace with God? And then do you have the peace of God? Are you walking in deliverance? Because that's walking with the peace of God. And then are you walking in communion? Because that's walking in the peace in God. So if you're walking in, if you're communing with God, with the peace of God, because of the peace with God, because you have peace from God, then what happens is unity happens because you're believing what God is saying to you on an individual basis, and you're walking with the peace in him because of the peace of him, because of the peace with him, because of the peace from him, because of the unity that he's established in you on my life. Unity is important because Christ prays that we walk as one. See, peace is more than just, you know, a word that we shout all the time and talk about all the time. Peace is a way of life. And then, of course, unity simply, you know, is important because it showcases the presence of God. Yeah, I know. Y'all do know that when he says, going back to John 17, he says, so that they may see your glory. Y'all saw that, right? I'm almost done. I'm almost done with this. And then I'll be able to go on to the next point, which is the ingredients of unity next week, you know, or the week after next. But I needed to make sure y'all understood, y'all, the importance of unity of the individual, unity of the family, unity of the church. So Jesus says in John, I'm almost done. Jesus says in John again, going back to John 17, he says, y'all, look at this. I don't pray for them alone. I pray for those, you know, that who hear my word. And then he said that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that you also may be one in us. They may be one in us. One, that the world may believe that you sent me. See, it's to showcase the presence of God, that the world may believe that you sent me. But then he goes on and says, and the glory which you gave me. So not only should the world believe me, they should believe that they should see your glory when we're walking as one, God. Oh, you're missing this thing. He says, just as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me. He says that twice. And have loved them and you have loved me. In other words, what he is saying is this. He's saying, look, Lord, when you walk in unity, I am putting you on. I am showcasing you to a world. I am showcasing the presence of God in my life. Because when we walk in unity, what we're saying is God's glory is being put on display. What we're saying is that God is real. What we're saying is he says that they may be one as we are one, that the world may believe that you sent me. In other words, when we walk in unity, God is supposed to be put on display as we walk in unity one with another. Because a world that don't know God will only see God as they look to the people of God to be able to know how God acts in your and my life when we walk together in unity. But only brethren and sisters can walk together in unity because it is good and it is pleasant. To dwell, to hang out, to commune, to abide together with each other. But y'all don't miss the other part of it. You should be able to hang out, to dwell, to abide with yourself. You and God. And believe what God is saying about you. Believe what God is saying about you. Not what others are saying about you. I'm done when I give y'all the example. You know, y'all know that I was, in my younger life, I was pursuing politics pretty heavy. And part of my problem, Brother Will, was this, that whether I was on the school board or running for mayor, whatever the case may be, folks didn't get me because at the end of the day, Rody, I would tell them, I'm going to do what the Lord say do. They couldn't understand that. Because at the end of the day, I wasn't trying to please them. As a matter of fact, I got unelected from the school board because I wasn't trying to please them. And I'm good with that because my philosophy is this. As long as I can look in the mirror at the end of the day, and I can see myself in the mirror at the end of the day, I have, as Abraham Lincoln said, and have a friend looking back to me at the end of the day, and then understand that at the end of the day, I got my father saying, well done. I am pleased with what you have said. I am pleased with what you have done. I am pleased with where you have walked. I am pleased with what you have thought. I am pleased with you. At the end of the day, it does not matter what you say. Because I'm trying to walk in unity within myself to hear God say, well done. I'm not worried about the rest of them. I want to hear my daddy say, son, well done. Let's hang out some more tomorrow. But that's the importance of unity, y'all. It is to seek to please God. It is to supply the peace of God. It is to showcase the presence of God. It is to know that the Son of God prayed for us. And when he prayed for us, that catapulted unity to the top of the priority list, because he knew the importance and the power of unity. I'm done. But Matthew even says, whether two or three are gathered in my name, they are being missed. He says, when you ask, ask in my name, and the Father, and the Father will grant it to you. He says, when you are together in unity, one or two or three of you gathered in my name, when you ask of something in unity, because of the spirit of unity is with you, when you ask of it, you ain't got to go get it. When you ask of it, he says, my Father will do this for you. But because you decided to walk in unity. That's the importance. But unity got to be with you first, within. Are you and God in agreement right now? If you're not, it can't go no further than that. Amen. Father, we thank you on this day for being so wonderful, and we pray, Father, as we try to reset the conversation, Father, about the power of unity and its importance in our life. It is my prayer that we have heard from you, that you will grant us, Father, the peace of God that flows forth. Father, I pray for those who are upon the sound of my voice who don't know you and are part of their sin, and they don't know the power of the unity. Father, through you, I pray that you open their eyes and their hearts to you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. Now, Father, those who don't know you in the partner of this sin, I pray that they will come asking, what must I do to be saved? So they can then, Father, be able to take advantage, to be get the privilege, walk in the privilege of walking with you. Grant them, Father, the conviction to ask, what must I do to be saved? And grant them the conviction to believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. And all people of God said together, amen. 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 Amen.